वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. So we're continuing our reading of the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 18, and today's text is number 10, right? Magara Daratmaja Vitta Bandhushu Sango Yari Syad Bhagavat Priyeshu Naha Ya Prana Vritya Paritushta Atmavan Siddhyati Adhuran Na Tatendriya Priyaha Magara Dara Majavitta Pandushu Sango Yari Syad Bhagavat Priyeshuna Yak Prana Vritya Paritushta Atmavan Siddhyatya Durana Tatendriya Priyaha Magara Darat Majapitta Bandushu Sango Yari Syad Bhagavat Priyeshuna Yak Prana Vritya Paritushta Atmavan Siddhyatya Durana Tatendriya Priyaha Magara Darat Majapitta Bandhushu Sango Yari Syad Bhagavat Priyeshuna Yak Prana Vritya Paritushta Atmavan Siddhyatya Durana Tatendriya Priyaha. Please chant. Magara Daratmaja Vitta Bandhushu Sango Yari Syad Bhagavat Priyeshuna Yak Prana Vritya Paritushta Atmavan Siddhyatya Durana Tatendriya Priya. Magara Daratmaja Vitta Bandhushu Sango Yari Syad Bhagavat Priyeshuna Yak Prana Vritya Paritushta Atmavan Siddhyatya Durana Tatendriya Priya. Magara Daratmaja Vitta Bandhushu Sango Yari Syad Bhagavat Priyeshuna Yak Prana Vitya Paritushta Atmavan Sinyat Maduran. Vaishnavis. Mahagara Daratmaja Vitta Bandhushu Sango Yari Syad Bhagavat Priyeshuna Yak Prana Vritya Paritushta Atmavan Siddhyatya Durana Tatendriya Priya. So, synonyms. Ma, not. Agara, house. Dara, wife. Atmaja, children. Vitta, bank balance. Bandhushu, among friends and relatives. Sangaha, association or attachment. Yadi, if. Syat, there must be. Bhagavat Priyeshu, among persons to whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very dear. Naha, avas. Yaha, anyone who, pranavritya, by the bare necessities of life, paritushtaha, satisfied, atmavan, who has controlled his mind and realized his self, siddhyati, becomes successful, adurat, very soon, na, not, tata, so much, indriya priyaha, a person attached to sense gratification. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. My dear Lord, we pray that we may never feel attraction for the prison of family life, consisting of home, wife, children, friends, bank balance, relatives, and so on. If we do have some attachment, let it be for devotees, whose only dear friend is Krishna. A person who is actually self-realized and who has controlled his mind is perfectly satisfied with the bare necessities of life. He does not try to gratify his senses. Such a person quickly advances in Krishna consciousness, whereas others who are too attached to material things find advancement very difficult. Please repeat. My dear Lord, we pray that we may never feel attraction for the prison of family life, consisting of home, wife, children, friends, bank balance, relatives, and so on. If we do have some attachment, let it be for devotees, whose only dear friend is Krishna. A person who is actually self-realized and who has controlled his mind is perfectly satisfied with the bare necessities of life. He does not try to gratify his senses. Such a person quickly advances in Krishna consciousness, whereas others who are too attached to material things find advancement very difficult. Srila Prabhupada's purport for this verse. When Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was requested to explain the duty of a Vaishnava, a Krishna conscious person, he immediately said, Asat Sangha Tyag A Vaishnava Char. This is from Madhyalila 22, text 87. The first business of a Vaishnava is to give up the association of persons who are not devotees of Krishna and who are too attached to material things, wife, children, bank balance, and so on. Prahlad Maharaj also prays to the personality of Godhead that he may avoid the association of non-devotees attached to the materialistic way of life. If he must be attached to someone, he prays to be attached only to a devotee. A devotee is not interested in unnecessarily increasing the demands of the senses for gratification. Of course, as long as one is in this material world, one must have a material body, and it must be maintained for executing devotional service. The body can be maintained very easily by eating Krishna Prasad. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9:26, Patram Pushyam Palam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati Tadahang Bhaktya Paritam Ashnami Prayatatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion, a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Why should the menu be unnecessarily increased for the satisfaction of the tongue? Very, very nice way Prabhupada posed this question. Because we all are interested in the menu. I'm always calling Govindas asking, what's the entree tonight? We want to know what's on the menu. So Prabhupada said, why should the menu be unnecessarily increased for the satisfaction of the tongue? The devotee should eat as simply as possible. Otherwise, attachment for material things will gradually increase, and the senses, being very strong, will soon require more and more material enjoyment. Then the real business of life, to advance in Krishna consciousness, will stop. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Vacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshtarni. Om Agyanata Mirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangsha. Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tang Sajivam. Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatangsha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate. Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutte Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Vancha Kalpaturubhya Shakripa Sindhumya Evacha Patitanang Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasa Adi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So please forgive the strange asana I'm sitting in here, but my hernia is still not healed, so it's a little difficult to sit totally cross-legged. As you know, recently I went to Bosnia to visit my mother-in-law, who's a stroke patient, and I became a patient myself. But this is the way of the material world. Everything is always in flux. This is Kuntaloka, and we're trying to qualify ourselves to go back to Vaikuntaloka. So here, Prahlad Maharaj and the residents of Jambudweep are offering prayers to Lord Nrisingadeva. They're not exactly in Vaikuntha, but it's a more elevated neighborhood that they live in. There's variety in the material world. We can't deny that. I mean, if you say to somebody, I live in Los Angeles, what comes to mind? What would somebody think of immediately? Would they think of Compton, Watts, or Beverly Hills, or... you know, completely different neighborhoods that make up Los Angeles. It's one big city, but completely different neighborhoods. If you were to be dropped into Beverly Hills and never left there and went anywhere else, you think, wow, LA is really, really a fantastic place. But if you got dropped into some bad neighborhood and never left there, you think, man, I can't wait to get out of this place. So, you know, what is it? Is it a bad place, a good place? So the material world is like that. It's a mixture of good, bad, and everything in between. So the residents of Jambudweep, even though they're on the same plane of Bhumandala that we're in. You know, technically the Earth planet is part of this Bhumandala plane, and these different dvipas, Jambudweep, etc., and these varshas that are being described here in this section of the fifth canto, they're part of Bhumandala. Some of them are much higher in terms of their elevation, and some are, but it's part of this plane of Bhumandala. Below Bhumandala, you have other planes of existence all the way down to the hellish planets, Atala, Patala, like that. And above Bhumandala, you go all the way up to topmost planets in the universe. But it's variety. Variety, but you're still in the material world, which is a place of misery. You can't get away from that. So they may not experience hernia operations on this level of existence in the material world. They may not even show any wrinkles. They don't need any wrinkle cream, etc. But time will come when the pious credits run out and Chinne Punya Marti Loka Vishanti, they have to come back to the earth planet or earthly level of existence. So we should not be overly attracted by these descriptions, because we know, again, more or less, they're in the same situation. This entire material world is going to get wrapped up and withdrawn into the body of the Mahavishnu at some point in time. Nobody survives. The death rate is 100%. I remember once the North European BBT, they made a little video. Some of you may have seen it. There was a young devotee playing as a newspaper boy. And he's saying, extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra, read all about it. So people are passing on the street. And finally, one businessman stops and says, let me see. And he gives him the newspaper. And the big headline, it says, death rate 100%. So the guy looks at the devotee and says, is that news? And the devotee says, to some people. So that's the point. We get so absorbed in these things that are being discussed here in today's verse, wife, family, children, bank balance, relatives, that we forget that the death rate is 100%. I'm going to die. My father already died. If I have any children, they're going to die. All the grandchildren, if they come, they'll die. Everybody's going to die. So this foolish business of running around thinking I'm going to accumulate this and that and this insurance and that benefit and this so I can benefit my... you can't benefit anybody. At least the residents of Jambudweep know that. That's why they pray to Lord Nrisingadeva. All their material situation will be finished and can be finished at any moment. Even on that level of existence, sometimes the demons attack and things are ransacked and like that. So they know. Our existence is precarious. We may be living for hundreds and thousands of years by the calculation of the demigods, but still, It's a precarious existence. Therefore, let us take shelter of Lord Nrisimhadev. So what to speak of us? You know, you have to. I told some of the devotees here when I went for the operation, and they gave a local anesthetic in the hip. But when the surgeon cut me, happens to be my wife's uncle, I said, I felt that. And then he was poking around. I said, I feel everything you're doing. He said, do you want more anesthesia? I said, no, just finish it. So that's the way it is in this material world. You may try this anesthetic. You may try this remedy, that remedy. Nothing will work unless you take shelter of Lord Nrisimhadev. So that's what I was doing. I was just in my mind just reciting all the Nrisimhadev mantras that I know. It was painful, but you know, this will pass also. So this is what Krishna teaches. This is in the Bhagavad Gita. Pain will come. Pleasure will come. Tolerate both of them. Sometimes as tough guys, we can tolerate the pleasure, the pain, but when some pleasure comes, you become distracted by that. This is good. Let me follow that line of... No, you have to tolerate both. As long as we have the material body, there will be some pleasurable situations followed by some miserable situations and again some pleasurable situations. You have to tolerate both. Yaminavyatyante purusham purushashva. Samadukha sukham dhiram somrtatvaya kalpate, Krishna says in the second chapter. That one who can tolerate both happiness and distress and be steady in both becomes eligible for liberation. So we have to learn to tolerate. And then later on in the second chapter, Raga Dvesha Muktaistu Vishayan Indriyasaran. Atma Vasya Vidayatma Prasadam Adigachati. If we want to become qualified to receive the mercy, the prasadam of Krishna, then we have to again, Raga Dvesha. Don't be, you know, unnecessarily turned off by anything in this world and don't be unnecessarily attracted to anything in this world. And follow the regulative principles of freedom. If we do that, in other words, under all circumstances, whether pain, pleasure, this, that, just like when I was in Bosnia, you know, it's nominally a Muslim country, so the devotees there are still a little tentative about preaching. I mean, they've been attacked. It's with good reason. They've been attacked on Harinam, like in Sarajevo a few years back. There was a big Harinam. So many of our ISKCON leaders were there. Gunagraya Maharaj was there, etc. And they got attacked. Even the women got beat up. So they're a little bit tentative about going out, preaching in the public. But I told them, I said, even in the West, and even in America in the early days, the devotees would go out on Harinam and they would be arrested. And Prabhupada wrote and said, just keep going out. Keep going out. I said, so what if they put you in jail? You just keep chanting Hare Krishna even in jail. I never got arrested on Harinam, but I got arrested on book distribution. I was working one big intersection in New Jersey, and sure enough, the cops came, grabbed me, and threw me in jail. So this was going on. Now it's a little heavier atmosphere in some of these other countries around the world. But still, we have to be willing to take chances to spread Krishna consciousness. This will make us quickly recognized by Krishna. Because after all, this entire material world is a prison anyway. Durga. It's the fortress guarded by Goddess Durga. It's a prison house, the entire place. It's not that if you live in Beverly Hills or Pacific Palisades, you won't be affected by what's going on in the world. No, you may not be go hungry ever or that, but you're still affected by global warming. You know, when I was in Europe, I was corresponding with Badri, and that Icelandic volcano had just erupted. And he said, he asked me, are you going to be able to come back? I said, yeah, I think, by the time my flight comes around, things will die down. But he wrote back, he said, just see, they're so proud of their technology, but one little volcano in one remote area blows, and the whole show shuts down. So this is where everybody's affected. You may be a little richer, a little poorer, a little better looking, not so good looking. Doesn't matter. We're all in the same boat, literally. This Earth planet is like a boat sailing through space. And we're all on the same planet. So it doesn't matter what your situation is. The entire universe is a gigantic ship that's floating on the causal ocean. So no matter what your situation is, ultimately we are all subjected to the same vagaries of this material world. Birth, death, old age, disease. We can't get away from it. So as Prabhupada was saying in his lecture on Sunday from the verse from the sixth canto, that what distinguishes the animal from the human being is this desire and ability to inquire. Who am I? Why am I suffering? Sanatana Goswami was asking, Kayami, who am I? And why am I suffering these threefold miseries? And he said, the village people, they call me Pandit. They think I'm very intelligent, but I don't even know who I am and why I'm suffering. So what to speak of Sanatana Goswami? All of us should be making this inquiry. Why am I suffering? Why is death going to come? And it's not going to miss any one of us. Why is death around? It doesn't matter. Just like Right now I'm taking this aloe vera and rosemary drink every day. It's really nasty tasting stuff. I said it doesn't put hair on your chest, it put hairs on your tongue. But it's supposed to be good for the body, so I'm drinking it. But in spite of all this, you know, whatever medication you're taking, the day will come when I'm not going to be here anymore. So many of our God brothers have already gone. In recent history, Shruti Kirti's wife just passed away, and Padma Lochan Prabhu just passed away a few weeks ago, and you know, like that. And just one after the other, we're dropping. So it's not that because we're chanting Hare Krishna, or we live in a temple, or, you know, we're proper disciples, that we're not going to die. We're all going to die. So you have to fix your mind like that. And we know the fate of the universe. Pralaya payadi jale chitavana sivedam. At the end, the sun becomes 12 times hot, everything burns up, and then Jayadev Goswami says, water, just like from the trunk of an elephant, fills up the entire universe. So every one of us goes through that personal pralaya. If you hear the recounting of how Ram Das Prabhu left, you know, he sat down peacefully, but he couldn't talk because the body was filling up with water. It sounded like it was going gurgle, gurgle, gurgle like that. So everybody's going to go through that. It's not that. But we're being trained how to go through that experience, go through the death experience without freaking out. The non-devotees, they freak out just at the thought. They don't even want to think about it. They're thinking that somewhere or other, by having, you know, the bank balance and the health insurance and the life insurance, and it's not going to happen. No, it's going to happen. It's going to come. These are Atmasaineshu Asatsupi. These are false soldiers. Dehapatya Kalacharishu Atmasaineshu Asatsupi. Desham Pramananidhanam Pashyanapi Na Pashyati. Prabhupada gives a very poetic translation to that verse. Persons who do not inquire into Atmatattva, who are not interested in Atma, do not inquire into the problems of life, being too much attached to the bodily soldiers, fallible soldiers like the body, children, and wife. All those sufficiently experienced, they don't see their own demise. So this is what's going on. We're all sufficiently experienced. We know that death is there. Everybody's going to die, but still we don't see our own personal demise. It's not coming anytime soon, maybe 20, 30, 40 years. It doesn't matter, we're thinking. No, it's going to come, so we have to be prepared. And it's not a question of age. Prabhupada gave this example. If somebody's, just like we have our Vidura Prabhu across the street, he's 91 years old. But he may be destined, like Subhasa is always telling him, Asta Tarasata, you're going to live to 108. Even though he wants to die now, he said he's tired of this body. So if he lives another 17, 18 years, and then somebody who's 21 dies tomorrow, then who's older? The 21-year-old who is going to die tomorrow is actually older. So age is relative. He may be 21 and destined to die in a week, and somebody may be 91 and live for another 17, 20 years. But ultimately, everybody dies, so we have to be prepared. Now, there's a little bit, there are some statements made in today's purport that may be a little bit difficult to understand. Because here it seems to be advocating that if you're advanced, then you live at the extreme level of simplicity. But it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody has to be like, you know, only have one dhoti and, you know, sleep only wrapped in a chadar. And no, Prabhupada was not into that. You do the needful, what is necessary for your particular situation. Shruti Kirti writes in his book that when he was staying with Prabhupada here in New Dwarka, you know, it's New York after all. It's like LA. You think it's going to be warm. But it was a little cold at that time. And he was sleeping with only a chadar, wrapped around, sleeping on the floor directly, only with a chadar. And he wasn't sleeping well. So Prabhupada asked him, aren't you sleeping well? What's going on? And he said, well, no, Prabhupada, it's a little cold. So Prabhupada sent him, said, go to my almari and take a blanket. Prabhupada had some blankets in there. So you do the necessary. It's not that you have to be extremely austere. Real austerity is follow the four regular principles, chant 16 rounds every day. That is our real austerity. If we can do that, then, yes, we try to live simply, but it's not a question of trying to be more austere than somebody else. We don't have a competition here of austerity. Everybody's situation, sense gratification, Prabhupada said once, is like salt. Everybody's level is, you know, a little different. You can't force everybody to like the same amount of salt that you do. So you can't force everybody to live the same way that you live. Not because I'm sleeping on a thin mat with only a chadar. I'm very proud of that and everybody should do that. No. Somebody may sleep on a bed, Prabhupada slept on a bed. That's not the important thing. The important thing is how Krishna conscious are you while you're sleeping? If I'm sleeping on a straw mat with a chadar and I'm dreaming of ladies and this and that, then that's a fall down, actually. Whereas the person sleeping on the bed may be completely, you know, dreaming about getting up to do their service the next day. So we can't judge by the externals necessarily. So the real thing is, what are we attached to? Who are we attached to? So the residents of Jambudvipa, along with Prahlad Maharaj, are praying here to be attached to Krishna. They don't want to be attached to these material things. Family, home, wife. That's not to say that one should not get married, one should not have a wife, children. No, that's a natural progression for everyone in this world. I've told the story many times, but Sannyasi was involved. He told me personally that on a morning walk in Mayapur, he was confused by this point. Why is it that pure devotees get married? You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, all these people, why? And why don't they set the example of extreme austerity, like Loma Sharishi? He was blessed with such a long lifetime that every time one Brahma would die, one hair would fall from his body, and he would not die till all the hairs of his body would fall off, and he was extremely hairy. So his disciples approach him and say, you know, Guru Maharaj, you're living outside. You don't even have a cottage. Why don't you let us build you a cottage? And he said, nah, why should I bother? I'm not going to live so long. So this is extreme renunciation. So sometimes devotees can become confused. Why don't all pure devotees show such a high level of renunciation? Why do they get married, live in houses, have beds, cars? Why? So this sannyasi approached Prabhupada and asked him that. He said, why do pure devotees get married? And Srila Prabhupada said, because it's natural. So they kept walking a little further. And again, the same sannyasi approached Prabhupada and asked the same question. Why do pure devotees get married, Srila Prabhupada? I'm confused. The Prabhupada said, because it's natural. He was expecting some elaborate answer. So again, they walked in. For the third time, he asked. The Prabhupada stopped and said, you're asking this question because you want to get married. So we have to see. It's a natural progression. We're coming out of trying to get out of Maya. So when you're in Maya, you do what the natural progression is. You go from student life to married life to renounced life. This is the natural progression for most people. Very few, in general, what to speak of in Kali Yuga, are able to go to just have a renounced life from beginning to end. Most of us require going through the natural progression. But the point is, while you're doing that, the Krishna consciousness movement is so powerful, bhakti yoga is so powerful, that even while one is married, even while one has child and job and all that, one can be aloof and on the plane of Krishna consciousness. So the Pandavas set a very good example of this. They were so apparently attached to Draupadi that they were willing to not only die themselves, but kill the whole world to protect her honor. You could say they were so attached to their wife. But in the end, when it was time to go back to Godhead, they left the palace and didn't even look back. Draupadi and Kunti happened to notice that they're leaving. The five brothers are walking off towards the Himalayas. So they also came down and followed. So this is an extreme example that when one is in that ashram, one has to be responsible. One has to take care of the wife and the children. But then one should be ultimately more attached to Krishna than anyone else. So I thought I'd read that verse, because Prabhupada gives some further clarification from Queen Kunti's Prayers, 8th chapter of the first canto, where she makes this point. She says in the text 42, Tvayi me ananya vishaya matir madu pate sakrit ratim udvahata adha gongay vogami vayate, that, O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges constantly flows to the sea without interruption, let my attraction be fixed on you and not be diverted to anyone else. That's the verse. So let me find a purport here and read it for you, because it's a very interesting purport. First chapter paragraph only, Prabhupada says some interesting points that relates to today's purport. Prabhupada says, perfection of pure devotional service is attained when all attention is diverted towards the transcendental loving service of the Lord. To cut off the tie of all other affections does not mean complete negation of the finer elements, like affection for someone else. This is not possible. A living being, whoever he may be, must have this feeling of affection for others, because this is a symptom of life. In other words, don't be artificial. Don't be so, you know, I'm such a big renunciate, I don't care for anybody, I'm just looking at Krishna. No, it's natural, we have feeling for others. The symptoms of life, such as desire, anger, hankerings, feelings of attraction, and so on, cannot be annihilated. Only the objective has to be changed. Desire cannot be negated, but in devotional service, the desire is changed only for the service of the Lord in place of desire for sense gratification. The so-called affection for family, society, country, and so on consists of different phases of sense gratification. When this desire is changed for the satisfaction of the Lord, it is called devotional service. Okay, we can stop here. Any questions, discussion? Yes, Prabhu. Matataji. Can you bring the microphone? I think you need to turn it down a little bit. Bring it down a few notches. It's all right. Should we go? Okay, now.
Don't take it too seriously. Perhaps the acharyas marry because that's a bigger of an austerity.
Because it's a bigger austerity? It is a huge austerity. Yeah, when Prabhupada came here, one of his early, followers was an older woman who had a son. So Prabhupada asked her, why don't you get your son married? And she said, well, if he can afford a wife, he can get married. And Prabhupada said, I realized that what's so common in India, even a poorest person gets married. Here in the West, it's a big deal to, you know, marry and maintain a wife, family like that. So yeah, it is an austerity, but it's like Narad Muni says, if you know that Krishna is to be worshipped, then what is the use of your austerities? And if you don't know that Krishna is to be worshipped, then what is the use of your austerity? If you can see Krishna inside and outside of everything, then what is the use of austerity? And if you can't see Krishna inside and outside of everything, then what is the use of your austerity? So that's what it comes down to. It's not just the austerity itself that one performs, but why are you performing and what are you going to achieve by that performance of austerity? Hiranyakashipu performed austerities we can't even dream of. But what was his objective? To surpass Vishnu, to become God himself. So then it's all nonsense. All his austerity was for naught, and Lord Nisringadeva appeared and killed him. So again, Prabhupada said, you concentrate on just these austerities. Follow the four regulative principles, chant your 16 rounds every day, do a little practical service. If you can do that, everything else is taken care of. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.